Greetings from Vrindavan. I may just speak and kind of tell you what I'm doing here and give you a little bit update, because it's been so wonderfully, hectic. And even now, I'm just in between one thing and another, and I hope I don't lose my voice. In fact, I'm going to take one throat thing now. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hello, Kincha. I'm giving class now. What? Yeah, come on, come on. I guess I'll sit here. So, Akinchana Krishna just came, blissfully serving here in Vrindavan. Wonderful. I'm going to turn the fans down because it may affect the... you can open that thing there, so. And the fan will only work on this side if you want. So, you know, I entered Vrindavan, and immediately there's a group from Russia. And, I it's something how you kind of forget, almost. Kind of spiritual experience is something that recedes. And even when people leave Krishna consciousness, it's never philosophical. It's just that they haven't renewed their faith, which is the experience of God. We have five senses, and I feel we have another sense, the sense of faith, experience of God. And that's how people come to Krishna consciousness. The philosophy may make it reasonable for them to partake in that experience, or may allow them to renew that experience or commit themselves to the practices that awaken that experience. But it's not philosophy. And I see that with Vrindavan. You know, I just entered this time, and maybe because I entered from Russia and it's not as jet lagged, because there's only an hour and a half difference. But it's almost as you're in an ocean of bhakti. It's not air. It's bhav. Vrindavan is just so rich. And then when you take to the practices, and I've been busy all day, giving classes morning and evening to devotees here, and this Russian group, just, you know, regular professionals from Moscow, but different people have different karma. And Russians, they're used to austerities. It's just in their blood. Someone told me their country is ruled by Saturn, which makes everything hard. See, if you live in Russia, it's just hard. Going in a car is hard. Working is hard. Everything is hard. But therefore, the advantage is when they come to Vrindavan, it's not hard. As long as there's some sun, everything is blissful. So I had a Russian type thing. I was waiting for Raghunath's group to come in, right? Raghunath's group to come in, and he phoned me. He was on the Prikram path, and they were coming by Kirtan or something. So I see three Westerners, and they walk by the MDT, and they're looking, is this the place? And they walk by. And I go up to them, and I said, are you from Raghunath's group? And they start speaking to me in Russian. So then I had an excitement. They couldn't be Americans. Russians, when they try to find the place, they try to find the inspiration. Americans will look at what the sign is. They'll look for the sign. Russians will look for the feeling. So Americans wouldn't go by the gate trying to find the place. They'd look for the sign. But anyway, you know, these Russian people, Kundamurari here, these Russians, professional people, they go and go. Who wants to go in Govardhan Prikram? It's your choice. You can go half, or you can go with shoes, or you can go barefoot the whole way. They'll always choose the most difficult. That's it. They'll always choose. Right? And the person they went to is also Russian, so he had no sensitivity that they were new, and he's been doing it every day, so he ran around in 5 hours. And with big blisters on their feet, they followed. The next day, do they take a break? No, they go to Varsana Prikram. And then the next morning, I heard they're going to Radhakund, but no, they're going around Vrindavan first. Then they're going to Radhakund. And they want to rest when they come back. No, they want to go to Maharaj's class. So, and these are pretty classy people. But they are so high. They are so high. Because bhakti is a science. We were reading in a purport today when people saw Rupa Goswami and all the Vaishnavas. He was a new devotee. He was a new bhakta, chief minister. But he was a new bhakta. Rupa Goswami shifted his value system from I have the most power to I have the most devotion. So the fact that he was the chief minister of like a country, it would be like if Obama came as a devotee, and then he accepted that he was a new bhakta, had to walk in line with the brahmacharis in Mayapur. You know? It's like if President Obama came and accepted he's a new bhakta. Rupa Goswami came and accepted he was a new bhakta. Even though he's the chief minister and he was one of the most brilliant, learned people in the world. Because he had that bhakti, he had that faith, that devotion. And when you have that devotion, then you see God and you see yourself. So it's easy to see you're small. And you're in the bhav, you're in that mood. Because when you actually, Uttama Bhagavat, you see the world through your bhav. So he was seeing through the heart, no problem. What to speak was Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Sarup Damodar. So even though he quoted a verse that revealed the mind of Lord Chaitanya, that every single person was astounded. Every person was astounded. And interesting point we went over in our class, that this fact, that this verse revealed that there's a difference between Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna outside of Vrindavan. The revelation that the fullest expression of God is his loving heart of friendship, intimate love, and parental appreciation. That revelation, that understanding, that the full heart of God, which requires that he is not in a superior position to anybody else, that realization of God was not revealed for millenniums, for millions and millions of years. Even Lord Chaitanya's associates weren't fully aware of the difference between Krishna in Vrindavan and outside of Vrindavan. Even they weren't fully aware. Never before given for millions of years, people didn't know. And that was what Lord Chaitanya came to give, and that's what his mood was. The most intimate love to God, raga anuga, spontaneous devotion, which is unchecked by a conception of majesty, divinity, opulence. He knew. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. He asked Nityananda and wait to give him blessings. And then Sarup Damodar said, but this guy's advanced. You can judge a thing by its results. It's Nyaya. It quoted from Nyaya. So what is the result you see? You see humility. You see conceptual ability of high, deep Krishna consciousness, and ability to express it. It shows you realization. He is advanced. He is an object of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And when he came, Lord Chaitanya noted him. Even though he was new, Lord Chaitanya noted him. He understands. He's fully surrendered. I can trust him with my heart because he only wants to serve. Anyway, I'm coming into Vrindavan. And it started right up, first day, group, and you see a thing by the result. These people are in absolute high states of ecstasy. They're beaming. They're effulgent. They're lighting up the room. They're the emblems of humility. So you can understand. They were in Vrindavan. They chanted here. They surrendered here. They followed the guides. And they got something so deep. You can judge a thing by the results. And wonderful. So with that group, and then Raghunath's group came. I gave class to the regular people that came. Went to greet Raghunath's group, who came in with 25 people in ecstatic kirtan. Ecstatic kirtan, 25 people. And I know some of them. And the ecstatic kirtan that they came in, and then we put chandan on them, and we garland them with jasmine. The fragrance of the flowers in Vrindavan is enough to prove the superiority of Vrindavan. The jasmine flowers, the fragrance of these jasmine, the fragrance of the rose. We put chandan on them and the kirtan. And then went back here, and that was after my class, and came back here for the Russians, who came for a final goodbye, and then now my most important class. I've missed you for 2 weeks, the class here on the Sangha, and then right after this, I'll head out to say hello, one more, finalize the thing with Raghunath, and then 3-4 days, we'll take the group to different places. And then I'll be off to Govardhan Hill. And but just the sitting up in the morning, and also it's hot here. I think the temperature during the day was 106 Fahrenheit, 104 Fahrenheit. But there's something sweet. I have good insulation, and on the bottom floor, it's not that hot. But there's something sweet of warm weather and spiritual life. Just sitting in the morning, getting up early in my bed, just in a gumsha, sitting up straight, chanting the holy name. Something very sweet. So I'm not going to go, now that I'm in Vrindavan, it should be regular because I'll be here for a while. I have my facilities to give class. The phone service is great. But for today, I'll just tell you what I've been studying. I decided to, in Vrindavan, discuss Anchalila. And Anchalila is the last 18 years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, where he's seeking to fulfill the internal reason for his descent, which is to become a devotee. But what devotee does God want to become? And what does he want to experience? He wants to be the topmost devotee, Radha, at the height of her love, which is the mood of separation. And what does it mean to become a devotee? Does it mean put on tilak? Does it mean to pay dandavats? Does it mean to marry a dhoti? Devotee is a conception and a feeling within the heart. That's what a devotee is. It's basically a feeling. It's a feeling of wanting to please Krishna. That's what a devotee is. You actually want to please Krishna. You love. You want to be his servant. You want to please him. You want to do service and make your service an offering, a beautiful offering for his pleasure. So that's what a devotee is. It's a sentiment. It's a feeling of love. And prema means when that feeling is the only thing in your consciousness. And and when that thing is the only thing in your consciousness, it means that there's an intense emotional feeling of love. And that's what happiness is. There's no difference. Without love, there's no happiness. You can have everything in the world. Imagine you get everything you want, but no love. We'd want that, but we wouldn't be happy. What if you got the love and not everything you want? Which would you choose? Be honest. But devotees, they want the love. Therefore, Queen Kunti says, Vipata Shanti Tasha Shratat. But the calamities happen again and again. If that gives me the love. Because love, three symptoms of prema is you want to be with your beloved to serve them. You want to develop a loving relationship with your beloved. And you want to serve them. So the Anchalila is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilling this mission, which is a very deep internal transformation and how to enact that by certain life and practices of Krishna consciousness. And that's the goal of life, prema pramartha maha. The Anchalila is the goal of life. And it's the practice to actually get the goal of life when you have bhava mayi. When you finally have a sense of love for Krishna, which love means relationship. When you have that love and that relationship and you want it to mature fully, then you have an exemplar of that relationship, a devotee in Vrindavan, and you meditate on them. And you meditate on their love. And you pray for their love. And you aspire for their love. And you sing about their love. And that is the feeling you have towards the holy name, because the holy name is Krishna. And therefore you begin to chant in some bandhu or relationship. The highest meditation on Krishna is when you're chanting, but you're chanting with a sense of relationship with the person whose name you are chanting. When we chant Prabhupada, the extent that that moves you, the extent that that absorbs you, is the extent that you have a appreciation and love for Prabhupada and a relationship with Prabhupada, which comes from hearing about Prabhupada and hearing about his qualities and hearing about the devotees who love Prabhupada. So when you're chanting Krishna's name, the ability to focus, the ability to chant, the ability for Krishna to actually descend in the holy name, is going to be dependent on your relationship with the holy name. So how do you develop the relationship with the holy name? Of course you chant, but also you hear about that love from the Bhagavatam. And you hear about that love from expressions of that love of great Vaishnavas who express that love in poetry and song. And it's all connected to your mantra chanting. So this is the Anjalila. The Anjalila is Lord Chaitanya gets those feelings and how he gets those feelings. So therefore, we were studying the beginning of the Anjalila is what? The devotees are going to Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya. And it's a very interesting because it gives you the foundation of Krishna consciousness. And it's a very beautiful thing because the story is a dog comes to the Parikram and Sivananda Sen, who's maintaining the devotees and ranging for everything and is in that mood of service, he gives shelter to the dog. And when the dog, someone forgets to feed the dog and leaves, he becomes very sad. He stays up all night in anxiety. Does he develop love? And it's just so natural. It's just what's who we are. You develop love, natural affection to those who love you. And one form of love is someone being dependent on you, taking shelter of you. And you'll respond. So he responded. But who was responding? A pure devotee was responding. So what was the result? At the end, the dog goes back to Godhead. And Prabhupada in the purport makes very interesting points. That it doesn't matter if you're an advanced devotee or a dog. If you can take shelter of an advanced Vaishnava, you achieve perfection. We actually believe this in our life. We actually believe it, despite what our consciousness is and our habits are. If we surrender to Krishna and surrender to Guru fully, we are liberated. It's no longer the material platform. We're liberated. We're confident of that. Recently, a devotee passed away, Madhavisa. And a devotee, Madhavisa, passed away. And somehow when I came in, it was like Vrindavan is like the ocean of pure devotees. And I went, I saw Vaisheshika Prabhu, and I went to his room. And then I walked out. The next day, Guri John, I went to his room for an hour and a half. Then I saw Mother Srimati. And then I was in the temple, and Bhuvaneshwar called me over, gave me incredible Bhuvaneshwar Radhashyama Sundar walnut burfi. And he said, here, Radharani's mercy. How did I feel? Coming to the Dham and getting Radharani's mercy. And I ate every crumb of that walnut burfi. I don't care if I had diabetes in the last stage. I would eat that walnut burfi given by Bhuvaneshwar. So you're meeting all these incredible Vaishnavas. In Vrindavan. You meet all these incredible Vaishnavas, deep people in Krishna consciousness. And that's why you come here to the Dham. Because those people are really getting something. So you be with them because they're extracting something. And what's the quality of all of them? They surrendered fully. And it's a change of identity. It's a liberated... So we're confident that any of these people, when they leave, they're going back to Godhead. We're confident. Because they took shelter of a pure devotee, and that mercy flowed to their hearts. Whether sometimes they're happy or sad or grumpy or angry or whatever the incidentals are. I know in one book by Bhakti Rakshaka Sridharmaj, Following the Angels, he made a very beautiful point in the terms of Vaishnava. We're not so concerned with the ordinary dealing, but the inspired side. Of course, the ordinary dealings can't cover the inspired side, but we know what it means. People have different personalities, different natures. We want to see what's coming through them, what's coming to them so powerfully. So somehow or other, it's so simple. And therefore, sometimes the people that are the most bereft of opulence have the best chance for Krishna consciousness. Like Narada Muni, the son of a maidservant, doesn't know who his father is. It was easy for him to be humble. And once he had that mood of humility and it was expressed in service, it melted the hearts of the Bhaktivedantas, who were Dina Vatsala, who were very naturally affectionate to those who were in need. And the dog of Shivananda Sena, he just joined it. He just invoked affection. So this is so this is good going into the Antya Lila. You know, it's kind of telling you, don't think you have to be Tattvagya, Rasika, Vaishnav, something, everything, you know, and learn it, know everything. Yes, you do. To be a teacher and actually advance, you need to hear. That's true. But the core quality, which everything is built around, is one when one decentralizes his ego, takes his ego out of the center, and is happy and becomes free from prestige. It's very difficult to become free from prestige. In the Jiva Dharma, there's a story. I was telling this the other day of Nityananda Das, and he asked this Haridas Babaji what level I am of advancement. And he tells his story, how he was such a rotten, low-class guy. And then his father and mother died, his wife died. And then he just became detached of the world out of frustration, and then decided to become a Babaji because the Vaishnavas were respecting the renunciates. And it wasn't real, and he had trouble. But he met one simple and humble Vaishnava who gave him shelter, and he made it through. And he started chanting 1 lakh a name, 100,000 names with affection, with ruchi, and, you know, paid his obeisances and did something. But still, when some tears came to his eyes, he was hoping that people were watching. He was hoping people were watching. So they said, so Vaishnav Das Babaji said, or Haridas said, Vaishnav, what do you think? Think he's entering into Madhyam. And then Haridas said, yes, I also think. And then they begin to talk about the prestige, wanting to be recognized. What is that connected for? Why do we want to be recognized? Of course, there's some healthy self-esteem. Let me not get into those issues again. It's okay to feel good about yourself. But on the highest platform, when the traces of false prestige, why? Because if people respect us, we have power. And what do we do with power? We get our desires fulfilled. We move people around the way we want. We get the economic benefit, maybe, or the adoration, or sometimes the opposite sex, or whatever our desires are. Therefore, when one has those things, sometimes it's hard to be humble and change the direction of your life to the mood of service rather than being the master. But anyway, it's such a nice story. It's so foundational. And then Prabhupada in the purport says, if Krishna consciousness movement is to spread, we have to become those pure devotees to give people shelter and actually advance them in spiritual life. We have to become those devotees to spread Krishna consciousness, which is a thought in my mind, I'm spending more time in the West. I have a few programs that I'll go back in December for a couple of weeks, probably. But I'm not underestimating the time in the Dham and what you can do when you concentrate in Krishna consciousness here. it's just an incredible facility, the spiritual life. Of course, if you make, you know, you have deities, and if you worship them, the deities, if you worship your deities properly, then the place also descends. If you worship Govardhan Shila, Govardhan will descend. But this is not dependent on your individual worship. It is. And it's very powerful. The Dham. The Holy Dham. And then the second part of it is Rupa Goswami. He's coming a little bit late because his brother dies. So he comes late. And then the second part of the pastime is just so sweet, too. Where Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya has so much affection for him that he comes there every day. And he knew he was coming. Which shows you that spiritual advancement, you see, Western minds happen to be reductionist, so they're like either or. And I realized that when I came back to America about 25 years ago, and have a car, and someone gave me a car, and I just didn't know what I was, my driving wasn't so good. I made the wrong turn over the Queensboro Bridge when I wanted to stay in Manhattan, and I went to the ticket collector. He's standing there, New York guy, and I say, I'd like to be polite, sir, I think I'm lost. And he looked at me with such a look of disgust. He said, either you're lost or you're not lost. So that's the Western reductionist mind. It's, you know, it's like one or the other, but a lot of times things can exist simultaneously. Like you can be a senior devotee and respected, right? Even if you're not so advanced. And you can be a junior devotee and respected, even if you're not in the movement for a long time. And cultured people know how to accommodate everything. And that's why I want to continue this book on the CC I was writing many years ago. You know, lessons from the CC. For example, at the Panihati Festival, when Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda had to sit everyone, and there was a raised platform, who did he put on the raised platform? Swajatiya, those intimate devotees, but also Bara Lok, the big people. That's also the people who had some power and things. There's multi-dimensions. I was thinking of one lady devotee who's very advanced spiritually. When she's in the home, she cooks three meals for the family. Right? But she can go to the temple and sit on the Vyasasana and give class. It's not like, oh, you're a woman. Right, you're a woman. You have to be submissive. You're ruining the whole culture because you're giving crap. No, people are mature. They can accommodate that. There's different levels of social responsibility and respect. And on one level, you know, you can be the housewife at home, but another level, you can be the advanced devotee in the guru. Multiple levels. It's not just one or the other. It's multiple levels of people who are positions in society. They may get respect. They also represent Krishna. And then, you know, someone is an advanced devotee, and someone who's Prabhupada, but it's not the only qualification. What about the guy who joined in 1978 and has been distributing books for 36 years or 40 years? Just because he didn't get initiation and came 1 year later, then there's no accommodation for them. So Rupa Goswami was new, but he was respected. But that doesn't mean that he took the respect or he forced the respect. He was very, very happy in the bhav. I am the servant of Krishna. I am the servant of the Vaishnavas. So it's very, very beautiful pastime. And we're reading on Chalila. Okay. Okay, I'm going to stop now a little bit early and see if there are any questions, but let me see if I can... Okay, let me do the questions. Okay, would anybody like to ask any questions?
Are we having our unmute problem again? Can someone say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail. I just wanted to express my appreciation for your depth of realization as far as my mind can see it. So thank you. I just really appreciated that in your last book, in the latter part of your talk there. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I'm in Vrindavan, so I'm really anxious to speak to everybody there.
Which Vrindavan is, and now I kind of started my Kartik Vrat to today somehow. I feel really energized. It's a science. In the purport where I think it's Sarup Damodar says to about seeing Rupa Goswami, you can judge something from the results. And it said, just like in the higher planets, they eat these stems from these motive goodness trees, and everybody is beautiful and happy, and something like that. And Prabhupada goes in the purport that you can judge a thing by a result, and that there will be effect of eating Krishna prasadam. And he said that in today, the leaders, especially, even in India, they become compromised, you know, by having, you know, social obligations, and even, you know, maybe pious people sometimes in political positions, they start to drink. They have to eat meat. And he says you can judge a thing by a result. It is science. It is science. And then I was reflecting on the Chanaka Shlok. I think it is our decisions determine our fate. What we are now is based on what we did in the future. And what we'll be in the future is based on what we do now. So how careful do we have to be in terms of what we put into our minds and body in the modern world? Because what we put in, that's what we're going to be in the future. We won't get away with it. In fact, the difference between bhava and prem, and I read this the other day, is lingering effects of Vaishnava aparad. So we really have to, you know, when you read the books, you realize, and when Prabhupada said it, it is a science. What you are is what you were, and what you'll be is what you is, are. It's a science. And what you eat. And therefore, I was making a point, a lot of times if I see someone who's mentally depressed or that, a lot of times I would say that I would understand they didn't have a mother, a loving mother who was cooking for them at home. I remember there was this one guy, Indian guy that joined. And he was so crazy. You know, and he's from this Indian family, and he was really crazy and so many mental problems and incredible. And you stem it back, you know, both his parents were Punjabis and competing with their brothers, which all Punjabis seem to do. And the mother was working, the father was working. And all he ate out is pizza that was ordered from the store. That's what I found out. He never had a home meal. And it's a result, you know, and you see good minds. You know, so what we eat is so important. But in a Vaishnav society, even if there's two people, one person serves. Just so there's love. The modern system of opening the refrigerator, cookie box, taking what you want, eating out, never having cooked meals. No wonder why people are so frustrated, just from the standpoint of food alone. There's something about when you know you're getting nicely cooked meals according to your needs and health and everything, and they're prepared and they're there and they're ready. It creates a whole mental outlook of actually positivism or optimism, excuse me. Well, you don't know when you're going to eat. You got to cook it yourself, and then, and you're really not in the mood of really loving Krishna that much anyway. And then you slap together the, you know, the toast and the breads and the sandwiches and the. At best, you'll cook some pasta. At best, you'll cook some pasta. So, mode of goodness. We'll create the mode of goodness. That's the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, any other inspirational comments? Or we have a question here from Akinchana Krishna.
I have a lot of questions. I just wanted to ask if you could elaborate more on the distinction between the inspired side of a Vaishnav and the ordinary being.
Okay. Akinchana Krishna said, can you distinguish between the inspired side and the ordinary dealings of a Vaishnava? Like a person may have a particular personality, right? Some people are a little bit more aggressive or less aggressive. It has nothing to do with their bhakti necessarily. There are people that are not aggressive at all and have no devotion. It's not our nature is not an absolute correlation. And I can think of some Vaishnavas that were very strong. And something maybe reflected something of what they grew up as. You know? I remember one time there was a conflict between ISKCON and some other Vaishnava. And the other Vaishnava was really heavy in the conflict. And I shouldn't say this. The Borijan said, but the ZBC doesn't understand is he was a Bihari policeman. So much Bob, so much purity was coming out, but if you deal in a particular way. Or we tend to judge people in terms of how our false ego interacts with theirs. It just may not be a compatibility. The person may... Now, we understand as when someone becomes pure in Krishna consciousness, right, when all good qualities come, but in manas, in Harinam Chintamani, the prime quality is surrender to Krishna. So person, it's not an absolute correlation. We know people that are kind of very advanced and dedicated, but due to their background, they may be a little grumpy or something. You know, then you point out, oh, they're not advanced. Well, they are advanced. It's not an absolute correlation. What the correlation is their love, their dedication to Krishna. It doesn't mean they don't develop all good qualities either. But we don't make that the general material tendency is to make that the standard of spirituality, but it's not. People have different natures, you know, in different ways. Some people are always late in advance. Some people are fanatically on time in advance. Some people are late and not advanced. There's different kinds. And if you get hung up on all that thing, because you're a person that's on time and this person is late, then you reject them. And that may not be part, you know, it may be part of their mode of goodness, and it may be part of just their samskaras as they were growing up. And bhakti is the path of dedication. So we're not like, you know, honing in and psychologically trying to put us apart and analyze everything and move in that way. We're giving ourselves to Krishna and dedicating ourselves to Krishna. I know a devotee is really advanced, but he annoyed me. So I told his friend, I said, this guy's given everything to Krishna. I wish he would take some things back. But it didn't mean that I didn't appreciate that this person was completely dedicated. That makes sense?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Come closer. And so if we, I mean, if we do kind of get annoyed with somebody, and they're a really advanced devotee, but we may kind of, what we've really taken note of is that circumstantial thing that annoys us about them. That's our Vaishnava Aparad. Is that true?
Is that Vaishnava Aparad? Whether they're nice or you like their qualities or not, it's Vaishnava Aparad if you don't respect them properly, according to their status, even, that they're senior or something like that. It may be a Prabhupada disciple. There's whatever it is. Yeah, there's Vaishnava Aparad. Yeah. I mean, but the main thing is if you develop enmity, it's certainly Vaishnava Aparad. That's the main thing. The main thing, because the Aparad comes from the enmity. That's the worst thing, from the enmity. Yeah, we have to be careful. And if you see really advanced Vaishnavas, they don't get bent out of shape because people are not perfect or people have a particular personality or people say something to them that or even deal with them harshly. They don't get bent out of shape. One story I remember with Tamal Krishnamurti, and someone did something wrong, right? But somehow or other, he'd served very nicely, and then he did something wrong, and then he wound up on the street, right? And I wanted to give the guy something. So I called up Tamal Krishnamurti. I never forget this. And I said, can we help him? He said, I love the guy, right? And then I said, but do you know what he did? Right? And he said, well, that's not the whole person. Even if it was very bad what the person did, he would not look at it as that's the whole person. And that's what we tend to do. Even when someone makes a very bad mistake, all of a sudden that becomes the whole person. It's not the whole person. So I appreciated Tamal Krishnamurti's maturity in that. It was very moving when he said that. He said, but that's not the person. I love him. That's not the whole person. We tend to see faults as the whole person. And I, very frankly, if I look at the Hare Krishna movement, I probably could be upset with everyone. There's something about everyone, except like there's one or two people that seem to kind of, maybe not, But even that may be my prejudice. But most people, even if they're the most advanced, I can find something that annoys me. Yeah, if you look at the world through those lenses, but the problem is we never look at ourselves that way.
I have a little bit of a different question.
Different question, it's good.
Later in the Antya Lila, you're just talking about like the dog of Shivananda Sain got the mercy because that dog was connected to a pure devotee.
Yeah.
There's a story in the Antya Lila that I never exactly understood, and I just forgot the name right now, but it's like one of Ramananda Roy's brothers, I think, got into trouble, and they were even threatening to execute him because he had misappropriated, he was a tax collector, and he'd misappropriated government money see dancing girls. I was just wondering if you could explain that story to me.
I don't remember the story, but is it that Lord Chaitanya was very harsh with him?
Well, sort of. Lord Chaitanya expressed that he was annoyed that people were coming to them with this kind of mundane problem. And eventually, that devotee had done something wrong. First of all, he was like a relative, maybe a brother of Ramananda Roy.
Yeah.
And thank you, Gopinath Patanayaka. So he had misspent money from the king, and he had used it to see dancing girls, and then he wanted to sell his courses to pay the debt. and then he got into a fight with the prince because he made fun of because the prince tried to cheat him, and then he made fun of the prince. And then they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to solve the problem, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed that he was really
right. What's that?
They were threatening to execute him.
They were threatening to execute him.
Not to be so enthusiastic to help and to solve the problem.
And he was annoyed. They were coming to him with this kind of mundane problem. He said he was kind of expressing that, you know, the king is in the right and Gopinath Patanayaka has to pay the fine. He has to pay his debt. And then somehow at the end it was reconciled so that Gopinath Patanayaka was not only not executed, he was given his job back and his salary was doubled. And so it's like somehow the idea was by his connection with his brother being a pure devotee, he somehow was completely protected.
Okay, but what's the question?
Well, the mystery of the story.
The mystery of the story is,
what are we supposed to take? What's like the moral of the story? What are we supposed to take from that? Like, is it the same idea as the dog of Shiva and the saint? Even if you're kind of, you know.
Okay. So Akinchana's question is, this person who is such a rascal, Lord Chaitanya, want to hear about it. He gets benedicted at the end. But this is different. Shivananda is saying is that he actually became dependent on, the dog actually became dependent on Shivananda is saying. This, the moral of this story is, the Lord Chaitanya's reciprocation with pure devotees, that if one serves Lord Chaitanya, right, then his affection goes to others, even if they haven't done anything. I'll give an example. I know it's the right example, but, you know, I have my Vyas Puja, right? My mother comes, and she gets a standing ovation, practically. You know? So it's just a natural phenomenon. So it's a fact that if someone's a devotee, so many people in connection with him get benefited. So I think that was the main thing of that particular story. That if someone is connected, like, and that's there throughout the Vaishnav thing, you know.
It's a similar point, isn't it? The dog. By their connection with Shiva and the
saint. No, it's not similar in this way because the dog took shelter. Gopi Patanayaka didn't take shelter. It would be like if the uncle of the dog got liberated because the dog took shelter. But what to speak of the dog when an advanced devotee like Ramananda Roy, then yeah, his whole family is benedicted. It's just like sometimes they say the guru takes the karma, and then so how does he take the karma, you know? But one way he takes the karma is because when you develop a relationship with someone and they do wrong, right, then you suffer also, you know, when they're struggling or when they have their mishap, then you have to hear about it. That's a kind of bad karma. So who's connected with you also is affected by you, good and bad. But in terms of love, if someone loves someone, then they love people in relationship with them. That's why we love Mother Yasoda, because of her relationship with Krishna. So you love people that are in relationship to people you love. It's just a fact. And what the Shastras are promoting. What are they promoting? Become a pure devotee. And here's just another story of another reason. Why? Besides pleasing Krishna, it will benefit everyone you love. So the story is about the glories of the pure devotee. Okay, one second.
Thank you, Akinshita. That was great. Any other questions? Anybody else like to say hello? Or only Gail knows the magic of muting and unmuting? Because then people tell me, I tried to say hello so many times.
Maharaj?
Anybody else like this?
Hello.
Yeah, who's this?
Yes, this is Katya Maharaj from Moscow.
Katya from Moscow.
Katya Nekshit from Moscow.
Yes. Thank you. So nice to hear
thank
from you.
So
nice
much.
To see you in Moscow. Good.
And nice
thank
to hear
you.
From you.
Really happy that you...
When you were saying about this Russian group.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's just like when you came, Katya. Right? You somehow transformed.
Yes. But what you said was really right. I mean, you know, the inequalities of Russia was really sharp from you to hear. It's correct, I think, exactly. Thank you so much for this lecture, for this class.